You know what I want? I want a coffee drink.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. Not after a game, but after the, what was it, like 5 hours of the NBA draft, the first virtual NBA draft that I've seen in my lifetime. I'm not sure what they were doing prior to my birth, but you know, this was definitely different than what I've seen in a long time. And to talk about how the Raptors maneuvered through this draft and maybe some other teams who impressed, Robel, you can find him at Robeltussin on Twitter, which is a great handle, and you can find his YouTube channel, which he covered a lot of the prospects that went high in this draft, some that fell as well. Sub Me and Coach on YouTube, great channel. You can find a lot of stuff on there, and he'll have a lot of stuff going forward. Robel, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. It was a long draft night. A lot of disappointments, a lot of excitement, and we got to talk about it, so I'm here.
Okay, so initially, your favorite pick of the draft, like they got a guy, I suspect it might be Maxey to Philadelphia, but which team got a guy and you're like, damn, they almost win the draft just for that pick and the value they got at that selection?
Yeah, I mean, in my video of Tyrese Maxey, I just said a contender is going to get him in the 20s and everyone is going to look at it like, wow, how did he go so low? And it's Philly this year. So Philly got their guy. He's a great finisher at the rim, even though he's 6'2", amazing floater. So he has an in-between game. People, the reason he fell so low is because they looked at him as a 6'2 guy who shot 29% from three. But if they did their research beforehand and saw his EYB on high school numbers, you just realized that he was actually above a 35% shooter. So the shot was very easy to project. I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes a good spot-up shooter right away, year one. And just his defense is good as well. Really like active on that end, team defense and on-ball defense. And just his character and what he brings to the table for a team, he's automatically like a fan favorite, a great locker room guy. You can just tell, like watching an interview, it's hard for anyone not to like Maxey after you watch an interview. You know, you just automatically think, okay, this is my favorite player. And that's what everyone says. It's just, he's just a great personality. He would love rooting for other players before himself. And yeah, just Philly needs that.
So I guess we'll discuss a couple of hypotheticals first. And so when I was listening to your podcast with Blake over on The Athletic, where he had you on, I believe I remember you saying that towards the end of the back end of the first round, Zeke was maybe your favorite big, and I believe Xavier was second on there. Were you surprised Zeke went, I guess, a little bit earlier than he might have been mocked? And do you think the Raptors made a mistake kind of letting Xavier Tillman drop out of their pick? Or do you think that he should have been picked up there? What would you have liked to see for that pick?
I'm not surprised at all. I go back and forth with Najee and Tillman all the time. So it's like, I wish I didn't take a stance on that podcast, but it's whatever. I mean, Najee, I just it's a, you know, him at 22, I think he went to 22. You know, the shooting, probably team saw that and it's like, okay, the shooting's really real and his mobility and this is just his motor and this is just a big that we need. And he'd just be a good backup, maybe a starting big. And I'm not mad at all that he got like drafted before, you know, the Raptors pick. I'm not losing any sleep over it. But yeah, it's just, I see why a team would pick him higher than, you know, where he was projected as.
Yeah, and his court mapping, I guess, is kind of what, defensively, I would say his court mapping is where some people think he might be falling a little short. But I think a lot of teams perceive themselves to be able to teach that or kind of teach their scheme and how, you know, defenders are supposed to move within it. Tillman, I was 35th to 36th to the Memphis, but the Raptors at 29, Malachi Flynn. What did you think of that pick initially? Happy, just okay on it? And what do you like about Malachi?
So I was really hoping that Jaden McDaniels would fall to 29. I was literally so excited and he gets picked at 28th. And I was just heartbroken. So it was just carrying onto that when the Raptors picked. I was just like, all right, let's see. Maybe Theo, maybe Malachi, maybe Riller. And it became Malachi. And I was just like, I like Malachi a lot as a prospect. I think I would have drafted him higher. Like, as soon as, you know, if Maxi didn't drop to Philly, I would have looked at him there. I would have drafted him at 21. But yeah, as a Raptors prospect, I'm not like super high on him. I think he's a good player. It's just someone that doesn't really look like a high upside guy. He's, I think he's a senior, but like he could be a very high end rotational guard or a starter, but it's just he has to be an elite shooter to be a starter. And I just thought we should kind of move away from like the small guard thing, and we didn't. Because he is like 6'1". I believe he's probably shorter than that. I think if they're lying about his height. But he is a very good prospect. Like, he's a good pull-up shooter. Amazing in the pick and roll. He splits out all the time. Good floater. Good defensive player for his size, too. Especially on the team defense end. And, yeah, it's just someone that's I have, like, no faith, no doubt in my mind will be a good prospect. It's just I would have... like some better options like Isaiah Joe, Grant Riller, Theo Maledon, you know? It's just guys who I think have a bit more upside. But I'm like 100% confident that this guy will be a good player for our team.
Yeah, and it's difficult, right? Because Jaden McDaniels is the ceiling pick. Like, he's a guy who kind of at that point in the draft projects as having quite a high ceiling. And then you go to a guy where you're looking at floor with Malachi Flynn. And I think you said something about a senior. I think both the picks in this draft for the Raptors were 3 years and a transfer. As far as how he's fitting into the system and defensively, really looking at, you know, winning his Defensive Player of the Year award for his conference, is that translating really well to the NBA in your mind?
Yeah, I think it could translate, just not, just in a different idea. I feel like his defensive approach is like a Fred VanVleet. Like, he has super quick hands, gets into guys, you know, sometimes does a little bit too much and could get out of place. But yeah, I think he can be a plus on the defensive end, even though he is small and he doesn't have the frame that a Lowry or a VanVleet has. And that could hurt him. That's the only like reason why I don't think it's a guarantee that he'll be a plus. But the defensive playmaking as a team defender and just his on-ball effort and just, you know, genius level just makes me think he probably will be a plus guy on that end.
And offensively, if you go to watch his tape, the first thing that pops off is you're seeing pick and roll possessions, and he has really good pacing, really good judge of where the, you know, the primary is for his defender, what the back end is doing. He makes great reads in that scenario. What do you think about the Raptors maybe finally picking a guard who wants to attack in the pick and roll, whereas Fred and Lowry typically are looking to find the roll man or the short roller? What do you think about Flynn and maybe his mid-range ability kind of providing a little bit of a punch to the Raptors' second unit?
Yeah, I love it. That's like why I just think, like, I'm not super high on this pick, but that's the reason why I still like it and why I still like him as a player in general. Yeah, like you said, he just has that in-between game. Like, he literally makes defenders look foolish every time he has a screen. Like, splits a pick and roll like it's the easiest thing in the world to do. Like, when you watch his highlights, it's like, okay, why can't everyone do this? And then you realize that splitting a pick and roll is, like, one of the hardest things to do. And, yeah, he has that, what's it called? He has that, the Smitty move as well. Like, that Isaiah Thomas used to do a lot. And just a pretty shifty guard. I like his pull-up jumper as well. And he had an argument for best player in college basketball, honestly. He has an argument for it.
Also, P.D. Webb, when I had him on the podcast, this isn't something he talked about, but it's something that was covered in when he was writing about Malachi Flynn. Is, you know how Carmelo Anthony, for example, is really dangerous in the triple threat because of all the different avenues that are available to him? Malachi Flynn is really dangerous with a live dribble just because of how many sets and how many different things he can do just off of like his between the legs dribble, and what it offers him is like a pull up or like a burst to his right or like a snatch back to the left. And so it'll be nice to see a bit of that explosion offensively, provided that it comes that way. What do you think that means? Yeah, and if you don't want to speculate on it, just we'll move on to the next thing. What do you think it means about Terrence Davis as far as minutes, how that, you know, the third string point guard shapes up? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
I think Terrence Davis should get 0 minutes regardless if Malachi Flynn or like Jalen Harris or anyone got drafted. I think, yeah, that's how I would look at it.
Yeah.
Just think he just needs to get out of here. But if you want to talk about like guys that could really explode out of their, out of their steps and just as a, just an all-around bucket, we could talk about Jalen Harris at 59.
Yeah, I mean, go for it. What do you like about him just off the jump?
So the same ideas why I like Riller could be applied to Jalen Harris. There isn't as much as a separator as people would say there is. He can get it from three levels. Like, he just knows how to score the ball. Not a great catch and shoot guy, which is kind of worrisome to me, but he has a good frame. He can get to the rim, pretty athletic guard. And he just, you know, he's a very good shot maker as well. Anyone who's listening to this podcast should watch try to find Jalen Harris versus Malachi Flynn, because they both went off on each other. Like, if you could try to find that game, I'm probably going to tweet it out for Raptors fans. You should follow me at RoboTussin. And yeah, they literally just both went off, and you can see how tough of a scorer Jalen Harris is and how good of a playmaker Malachi Flynn is. But yeah, it's just, that's what he's going to provide. He's going to provide a score, like, you know, just be a scorer, and that's going to help out with the half-court offense because someone has to take the tough shots, right?
Okay, so we've talked the positives then about both these guys. Let's talk about the limitations we might, or that you might have seen, why they're being picked at 29 and 59. Why did these guys, why were they picked in the position that they were? Are teams missing, or are there certain things that, you know, you can expect aren't going to translate well or aren't going to happen in their games at the next level?
So with Malachi, he's like a good shooter, but not like a great shooter. And I think the reason why he projects as a backup guard is because of that. He has to be like a really good shooter for me to see a starter. And that's like the swing skill, just like a really tough pull-up shooter. And right now he isn't that, but he could develop into that. With Jalen Harris, I think he did get, he should have been drafted probably around the 40s, in my opinion. I mean, with Jalen Harris, like, he's a very good scorer, doesn't really try on the defensive end, but I think he could, like, really, I think he could, he is underrated on that end, and not much of a playmaker either, but in that role, he's going to be an off guard for the Raptors anyway, so I don't see him initiating or anything. And yeah, like, that Jalen Harris' main appeal is that he can score. And people are always skeptical of how scoring translates. And that's why he fell. And then Malachi was just, he was always in that range. And people are just always skeptical of, you know, small guards. Like, you know, even Devin Dotson, we thought, you know, he was like a first round pick maybe. And then he didn't even get drafted. So that's, you know, that should say how people feel about small guards. You got to be really good to get drafted, and Malachi Flynn is really good. So
let's talk about the Raptors, obviously, Fred VanVleet, and you and I are obviously in agreement that I think we both, well, I'll speak for myself, not for you, but I hope that Terrence Davis doesn't have a spot on the Raptors roster before the season starts. But obviously he was a good player picked up as an undrafted guy. Fred VanVleet, obviously an undrafted guy. Who should the Raptors be looking for? Because I really like Killian Tilly if he's healthy. Nate Hinton is a really popular guy that a lot of people are giving attention to. Devin Dotson, as you said. Who should the Raptors be targeting in the undrafted free agents?
I think Devin Dotson just got picked up by the Bulls. And Nate Hinton got picked up by the Mavericks. So these guys already...
okay.
Which is crazy, but... Killian Tilly just signed a deal with the Grizzlies like 16 seconds ago.
Bro.
So yeah, all of our guys are going away. Let me see. I would look at Mason Jones. Let me see. Okay. Mason Jones probably Oh, guess what? The Grizzlies got him, of course. Draft to his favorite, team, the Grizzlies. But yeah, Mason Jones is still available. So yeah, Mason Jones, 6'6", very good scorer. And I think at the wing we need some versatility, and he brings that. So, you know, pretty good pull up shooter for his size. The way he succeeds is with, like, he's a very complicated prospect because the way he succeeds is with craft, like a lot of craft, because he had like no burst at all. He was like one of the worst athletes, honestly, in college, like in as far as draft prospects. But he still got to the rim. He still got fouled a ton, and people just didn't understand why. I know he was just like a vet, you know, and people just, that's very hard to see how a team, how that will translate. Like, you know, if you're 6'6", why do you only need craft finishes to, you know, how is that gonna translate to the NBA? Like, how is that gonna work? So that was my issue with him, and that's clearly NBA team's issue with him. But I would have drafted him at 59, like, of course, because, you know, at some point you just can't deny that scoring ability and that upside. So I would like him there. I would like Josh Hall as well. He didn't play college. He had a prep year, a Moravian prep, I'm pretty sure. 6'7", good shooter, could score the ball. You know, just, I think that's just enough, honestly. Not like, he could play okay defense. And yeah, just, he has some upside as just being more than a shooter. Like, he has, like, his game is pretty advanced, and he's young. Like, he's I'm pretty sure he's like 19, so that could have been a fun upside pick.
Okay, well, it seems like we have the Raptors stuff kind of covered. Let's glean some insights from the, I guess, the NBA-wide stuff. You addressed it, the Grizzlies pretty much covering every single maybe NBA draft / blogger pick. The guys who are really popular on Twitter, among the guys who watch a lot of games, yourself included, Tilly picked up, Tillman picked, Bane, who I really, really liked. And yeah, so which team impressed you the most during this draft?
Philly for sure. I mean, you got Maxey, you pretty sure got Seth Curry. I mean, there's so many. I might not be completely accurate, so I'm sorry if I mess up, but because, you know, there's a lot of trades that happen. But I know they got Isaiah Joe as well. One more shooter, right? Like,
yeah, Danny, Isaiah Joe,
yeah,
Curry, and Maxey, I know, all joined the roster today. That's a lot of shooting.
And yeah, and what did Philly need? Shooting, right? And yeah, with Isaiah Joe, he shot like 11 threes a game. He's a shooter. Maxey will be a good shooter to me. Seth Curry's, you know, Seth Curry. And Danny Green could hit shots as well. He's streaky, but, you know, he could hit shots and he could defend. Maxey could defend. Isaiah Joe's a very good team defender and events creator that way. And Daryl Morey is doing a very good job. I also just want to obviously shout out the Grizzlies, because they got Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman, and they got Killian Tilly from the undrafted market. That's just like, they're trying to make the playoffs, and those guys help you make the playoffs right away. Mason Jones just signed a two-way contract with the Houston Rockets, so he's gone.
Man, damn. Do you think teams could sniff around the Grizzlies, because they still have like Jontay Porter, Tilly, Tillman, was it Gorgui Dieng is still there, Valanciunas is still there, Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark. Like, are all those guys going to hang on the roster, do you think? Or do you think teams could kind of wait around and, you know, snatch them up around, I guess, presumably what would have been the summer league or something like that? But what do you think about that?
I mean, I don't know if Valanciunas is a long-term piece, or Gorgui Dieng, hope said that right. But with Jontay, I mean, Jontay, I don't think Jontay is ever going to play, so I wouldn't really, Tilly is able to play, I would give him that spot over, because I just think he's a better prospect as well. But yeah, like, it just gives you a ton of versatility. Fun fact, Jaren Jackson, the Michigan, Xavier Tillman, They played together in at Michigan State, so that's they got reunited. So that's interesting. But yeah, I think it's a pretty good draft. I don't think they won the draft or anything, but definitely impressive to me.
Did you have any surprises in the top 10? Because I know you don't like the term IQ, but LaMelo Ball, big feel player, and yeah. He goes third. Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, goes one. What were your thoughts on the top 10?
The worst pick in the top 10 was definitely at number 10, which was Jalen Smith. Oh, my God. Jalen Smith to the Suns. Who's a five, but they think he's a power forward and they're going to play him next to DeAndre Ayton. It just doesn't make sense at all. Like, just doesn't help Ayton. Like, the floor stretching is okay, but I'd rather play the wing at the four than have Jalen Smith as a top 10 pick. I don't even think I'd even want him at 29, honestly. Like, that's how I'm looking at him.
Goggles, though. He's got goggles. And I guess...
And he could shoot for a big.
Yeah. Like, well, they went early on Cam last year, and they feel like that paid off. So maybe they think they're bulletproof, you know? Like, they just scoop whoever they want.
Yeah, but if you're going to go, like, early, go, like, I would understand, let's go get a Desmond Bain or something like that. Like, you know, just someone that I know is going to be good. Also want to talk about the Celtics draft, which is pretty like at 14 they got Aaron Nesmith, which is not a good pick to me. Like I was scared that they were gonna draft like a Maxi or something like that, and they just didn't. So I was like, thank God, because Aaron Nesmith is not the guy that people make him up to be. 52% from three, but he only played 13 games, so it's very shaky how well of a 3-point shooter he is. And everything else is just bad. Like, I don't want to talk bad about the guy, but it's just not there. Even defense. He's 6'7", and, like, literally built like a tank, but just not a good defender at all. And
I like Tyrell Terry as far as, a shooter. I thought he had the nicest stroke as far as guys who could, you know, shoot it.
Yeah, I think he's near the top five. I like Bane a lot, Joe a lot, Cassius. You know, guys like that. But yeah, I don't know. Nesmith is pretty overrated, honestly. And I'm happy that they got him as like a rival because, you know, he doesn't scare me. And then at 26.
Pritchard too, right? Yeah.
Yeah, like Pritchard. And then you draft Yamadar, who's going to be better than him. So you kind of wasted your first round pick. So that's just funny to me. Obi Toppin at 8, of course, which is bad. I had belief in the Knicks. They let me down. Like, new front office, just same mindset, I guess. Just not a good fit at all. I mean, he's going to score. He might win Rookie of the Year, but doesn't really move the needle at all to your rebuild. It actually just makes it worse. But, yeah. My favorite picks, I want to end off a positive note. I like Isaac Okoro at 5 a lot. Just makes complete sense. Killian Hayes for the Pistons was good until they started like drafting like Sadiq Bey and like Isaiah Stewart right after. And Kyra Lewis is definitely my favorite. Kyra Lewis to the Pelicans. That's just an amazing fit. Like Kyra to Zion in transition. Oh, yeah, that's just disgusting.
And Nikhil. I think Kyra and Nikhil, they're developing something interesting in the backcourt. I don't know if you like Nikhil, but to my eye, I think it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's interesting. I need to see more. Like, he's pretty disappointed this year, but I just need to see more. But yeah, I think he's still part of them. But what did you say? Sorry.
Were you surprised at the lack of movement on the Raptors' behalf? Because if a guy like Maxi, obviously he did slip a little. Norm by himself, Norm plus 29, Norm plus 59. Obviously, Norm has been talked about as a trade chip for some time because he had such an explosive season off the bench and spot starting. Were you surprised that they didn't try to move up or didn't try to purchase a second-round pick or anything like that?
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed, but not really surprised. I mean, when Poku fell out of the lottery, I was like, God, come on, it's easy. Come on, just do it. You know, don't let him fall to 17. And, you know, they just didn't care enough to do it, because it was, they could have easily done it, honestly. But, you know, Maxey too. I mean, obviously not Killian because he won 7, and then Kyra because he won 13. But yeah, Maxey and Poku were probably gettable, and they just didn't. So I'm kind of disappointed in that regard, because I just wanted guys that could help this timeline and the future's timeline. And we got guys that can just help this year's timeline. It's not really the future, you know?
Mm. Just going for the floor rather than the ceiling, which I think is something that's, if anything, outside of the Kawhi trade, the Raptors, that would be the downfall of some of their decision-making, is going for a high floor instead of a high ceiling.
Yeah, I'm not a great fan of it. You know, because I think people take the development system for granted, because at one point, all of those guys that are there are going to get hired by other teams. Like, we've seen it with Phil Handy. He left, and obviously it's a big loss. You know, we might not see it as like fans on the TV, but, you know, behind the scenes, definitely a big loss. And that's just slowly going to happen each year, because people are going to see, well, people already know that the Raptors have a great development staff. So owners are going to know that they're going to pay those guys a lot more money, and we're not going to have, like, it's like the Spurs thing, right? The Spurs weren't like an elite development. They're not elite anymore. And that's because that happened. So it's like, get as much young guys as you can in that development system, and then get some all-stars. But I don't know why we're not doing that. But I mean, you know, that's just my opinion. That's how I look at it. So people could look at it different, but that's how I look at it.
No, that's a smart way to look at it, because I think sometimes fans, journalists, writers, whoever, take for granted the infrastructure of the team and the fact that other teams can just poach and pay guys, and your infrastructure is not guaranteed. It doesn't stay forever. But before we let you get out of here, why don't you tell us about some prospects to look forward to next year? I know you're really excited about next year's draft, Cade Cunningham most of all, maybe. But who should, if anybody wants to kind of get into the draft, who should they start looking at?
Yeah, so you said, like you said, Cade Cunningham. I'm just going to give a quick description of each player. Sure. There's 8 guys that I think could have franchise potential upside. So that's really nice to hear after this year's draft. Cade Cunningham, 6'7", point guard, built like a tank, could shoot the ball, get to the rim, amazing passer. And yeah, just going to change your franchise. Easy with number one pick. You have BJ Boston, who takes James Harden's step backs, 6'7". Amazing handle for his size. It shouldn't happen at 6'7". And also a good defender. You have Jonathan Kuminga, 6'8". Bullies everyone. And like, he makes NBA-sized wings look like small kids next to him. Like, he's just going to put a shoulder on you and you're going to blow away. And he's also a good pull-up shooter for his size, and has a lead defensive upside. You have a guy like Evan Mobley, who's just 7 foot, but like a freak of nature, just moves super well, blocks a lot of shots. Had a disappointing senior year, because he wasn't completely checked in, because, you know, just senioritis, but still a very good prospect. You have Zaire Williams, elite pull-up shooter at 6'8". Good defensive instincts, has like creation ability. And yeah, just all these guys are going to be really good, like really, really good. And not guys that are like super safe, but all guys that like willing, they're like more than worth it to take a risk on, to, you know, have that change in trajectory.
Trying to find a cornerstone, and they offer that type of upside, which I guess the consensus was not really available in this draft. Rebel, thank you so much for coming on, man. The floor is yours. Plug away. Tell the people what they should be watching, reading, whatever you like.
All right. So I have a YouTube channel called Sub Me and Coach. Made a video about a lot of the lottery prospects. I'll definitely be making a video about, you know, my favorite fits in this draft, the losers in this draft, I guess. Like, just try to get as much NBA draft content out so you can continue to hear my opinions. And you can follow me at Robot Tussin if you have any questions about Malachi Flynn, Jalen Harris, or whichever guy will sign in the undrafted market. You can just DM me anytime. I respond to everything. Don't be shy. And Yeah, that's where you can find me.
Okay. And listener, for my part, couldn't co-sign Robel enough. I read his work. I watch his stuff as well. It's really high quality. He's really good at communicating sometimes complex terms that, you know, some members of NBA draft Twitter don't bother communicating to guys or girls who don't watch the game at a high level. He's really good at explaining it in those ways, making it, you know, bite-sized at times and going more in-depth at others. Couldn't co-sign his stuff enough. It's great. It's worth your time. So go seek it out. Robel Tussin on Twitter. Robel, thank you very much for coming on, man. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Appreciate it, man. It was fun.
Okay, listener, that's it for me. That's it for you. That's it for Robel. Whether you're getting into this in the morning or at night, probably in the morning. It's pretty late right now. But have a blessed day and goodbye.